Hello and welcome to Cream of Wheat. Aiden Demski is not here today, so I have three friends subbing in. Do you guys want to introduce yourself?
Hey, brother.
Who is that? Was that Chris Duyos?
Hello. Can you hear me?
So that's Chris. Who else do we have?
Cool. I've never done this before.
Hi, I'm Rafi from Emory University.
All right. Well, yeah, we have a guest radioer.
Yes.
Speak closer to the mic. I don't know if they can hear you.
Hi, everyone.
Hi, Mom.
And that was?
Allison King.
Allison King. So today we're going to be doing all of the Cream of Wheat stuff on 91.5 Medford, Tufts Freeform Radio. We're going to be doing the PSA. We're going to be talking about random things, and we're going to be playing music that we have specially selected for you guys all here tonight. All right. Do we have anything that we want to talk about first?
Well, I was eating dinner tonight, and you know what I thought immediately as I ate some Kung Pao chicken?
Please tell us.
Please, yeah. Please.
The unsung hero of the vegetable world, Brussels sprouts.
Yeah.
No, I disagree.
Don't think they're unsung. I think there's been a renaissance recently
of Brussels sprout culture.
I think the advent of adding bacon bits into Brussels sprouts.
I have not had that.
With some like balsamic vinegar.
Leaps and bounds
have been made in the field of Brussels sprouts recently, I will say.
Okay, Leaps and bounds.
Leaps and bounds. Oh my God.
Flavor town, for sure.
Oh yeah.
Guy Fieri would be very proud.
Impressed. So I hope you're listening, Guy Fieri.
Please reach out. Call in 855-915-WMFO. That's 855-915-9636. Please make a call. We probably know how to put you on the air, and we'd love to hear you talk.
Reach into the void.
Reach out. Touch us in the void. Who's out there? We have seven of you listening. Prove it. I think that we need them to prove it.
Yeah.
You're missing one.
We're missing one. Allison is joining us on the show. She usually texts in some good bits for us to try. And now she's here in the studio with us.
It's an honor.
All right, so the next song that we're going to play, Black Smoke Rising by Greta Van, I don't even know.
This is Camille's song.
This is my roommate Camille's song. He asked that we'd play it tonight, so here we go. And we're going to take it away. All right, we're back. I'm sorry, Camille. I like the song and everything, but I just couldn't get through it.
Sad.
Camille, ouch. I'm sure you play it beautifully.
I don't know. Okay, that song was good. I feel like it started off really strong and then kind of fizzled out right when I faded it out and we're playing different stuff now.
Right.
It had a 70s vibe to it to a certain extent. reminded me kind of of Boston, the band. Had a nice acoustic guitar part.
Okay.
And I see how Camille likes it. I liked it.
Rafi's our in-house music expert, coming all the way Emory University.
Yeah, we have
some high
qualifications here. Will you tell us a little bit about your music background so that people out there know?
So I've been a musician most of my life. My father was a musician as well. He actually attended Berklee College of Music for a little bit and got to know the ropes of the music industry. Worked as a sound engineer for a little bit. And I've been a bass player all my life and a pianist as well. And now I'm continuing my musical pursuits at Emory, playing bass over there, playing jazz, and it's been a great time.
Taking his talents to Covington, Georgia.
Yep.
Yeah, Covington? All our piano nerds, call in.
Reach out into the void. Let us know. All right. So I had some notes from a previous show that we didn't actually quite get a chance to talk about. My favorite one of those was the word spoons with three question marks after it. I was just thinking, I guess, I don't really know. I mean, that was a week ago at this point. But, like, as a utensil, what is its functionality over, like, a fork?
Soup.
Yeah.
And a ladle.
Soup.
Loaf.
Yogurt.
Loaf.
I want to say that, like, a fork, definitely the most useful. But spoons, in cases of emergencies, often double as knives. So I want to say that spoons...
How do you not cut your mouth? How are you not cutting your mouth with that?
How would you eat ice cream without a spoon?
A fork and a knife.
It would melt through the fork.
Wait, what?
Yeah.
It would.
Explain your reasoning. I'm not following this one bit.
You need to... Right, ice cream melts as you're eating.
I'm aware.
That's something that
I know.
Occurs. Yeah. So if we're cutting our ice cream with a fork and knife, we're going to have some of that ice cream drip through the fork, and that's really depressing. And how are we going to scoop that up?
No.
It's a low retainment, you know?
It is a very low retainment. We're going to probably achieve maybe like 70%. We're going to get that in our mouth, and then 30% is going to drop. It's going to be melted.
But then you put the knife carefully below the fork,
thus funneling it
into your mouth.
You don't get to capture it, you know? It doesn't have that like concave...
All right, I'm not following this one bit.
You're the one who posted spoons, question mark.
What do you think about sporks?
Sporks are entirely useless.
Yeah, I agree.
They're like the Swiss Army knife that like stabbed you in the throat. Like
they just remind me of KFC, which has a lot of positive and negative memories associated with that. So I'm not sure what to think.
Good mashed potatoes. Not that good chicken.
I have not experienced KFC that much.
You need to.
I feel like in terms of the fast food restaurants that I frequently...
Frequent.
I guess that, like, my number one is definitely Steak and Shake. And I know it's pretty regional. Mm-mm-mm.
That's so easy.
We have it. Last time I was there, a fight broke out. We were in the
land. Why is that a negative? Why are you putting
Aventura,
on the negative?
Aventura, Florida. Where this happened. I just want to put that out there.
Oh, because it's Florida.
Yeah, only the dumb stuff happens in Florida.
Oh, ouch.
There's dumb stuff everywhere, but the dumbest stuff happens in Florida.
I wish I could correct you, but shout out to 305, my city.
Yep. 305.
Mr. 305.
Mr. 305.
I'm going to say you got to go to the South, and that's some good fast food. You got a lot of great restaurants there. Zaxby's, great fast food. Zaxby's, get your wing and tings.
I'm going to put it out there for all our California listeners that In-N-Out is the best end of conversation.
Okay, but that's like cheating.
At least we have water in Florida, I will say.
Oh.
Okay, you have the Everglades and alligators.
Did you just go through puberty while you were saying that?
Yes.
For everyone out there, please replay it. You can hear her voice crack and drop like two octaves mid-word.
Yeah.
Welcome to being an adult.
Let's try it out.
All right. I think that... I'm getting pretty excited about Halloween.
I
don't know about any of you guys.
Halloween is my
favorite
holiday.
Is basically a national treasure. As far as I know, we only celebrate it right here in America.
British people maybe
French
do
people.
It.
But is it only
Europe?
Hold on.
Accepted.
Where do people celebrate Halloween?
I've got to fact check himself.
Yeah.
We do this all the time. We are here about accuracy.
Good.
But I can't talk and type, so someone else talk.
All right, well, Chris, do you have any Halloween costumes ready?
Ireland and the United States. Those are the two most similar places on Earth.
Ireland.
And that is where we celebrate Halloween.
Yeah.
Halloween around the world on the History Channel.
That's how you know it's legit.
It's, well...
Most underrated channel, H2, which is the second History Channel.
Is that one where they...
In case you want to watch simultaneous...
Okay, they
Turner
put...
Turner Classic
they
movies,
put Dia de los Muertos.
I was going to say that.
But I feel like it's very different.
It's very different. It's more of the celebration of your ancestors and their being dead and celebrating that.
Right.
And Halloween is, you know, these kids running around getting candy and these costumes.
It's so different.
And it's like... You know,
it's like being scared of death. It's totally different.
Yeah, it's a lot of the spooky aspect, and I feel Dia de los Muertos is more of a cultural celebration.
Yeah,
I'm absolutely with you.
Yeah,
snaps to that.
All right,
thank you.
So, on the topic, I looked up 10 forgotten Halloween traditions, 10 forgotten Halloween specials on Listverse. Let's see if there's anything good here. There is nothing.
They have the Flintstone. Who here watched Boomerang? Because I think I was the only
Tom and Jerry on Boomerang was my literal childhood.
My parents didn't
Saturday
pay for
mornings,
cable.
Saturday
we got
mornings.
Boomerang.
Watch Tom and Jerry.
And Casa de Abuela. Shout out to Xiomara. I hope she's doing well tonight.
Yeah.
She had some meat and potatoes for dinner. I know.
Yeah,
that's
that was a really
very
important
fact. No, it is important.
You guys needed to know what
that.
People need to know about that. Okay, wait, we got some good Halloween costumes that I feel like people are going to sleep on unless we bring them up right
now.
Oh,
wait, that one looks like Chris. So Chris recently got into thrifting, so he's been looking like a hipster.
We went to Buffalo Chains yesterday. Yeah.
Wait, they have a LaCroix boy. Hold on. This costume, here, for those, it's visual, so I'm going to describe it.
Okay.
A tie-dye shirt. I think that's what? What colors are those? That's
purple
and...
light purple.
And light purple.
Like a lavender.
A lavender, okay. LaCroix choker.
Says La Croix on it.
La Croix.
You gotta say it in a French accent.
A large-ish man wearing this. The sleeves are cut off.
He has a beard.
And he looks like
a
hipster. And this costume actually involves four of your other friends who are all at the same time offering you other La Croix colors. That one's a good one. What are you going as for Halloween, Chris?
It's a good question. We got a lot of candidates lined up.
What about that Triple D idea?
Diners, Drive-Ins, and Dives.
There we go.
As long as Guy Fieri is kind of my dream. We mentioned him earlier on the show.
He's an idol.
He is
one of my idols.
He is your hero.
Easily. Steve Irwin, Guy Fieri.
That's in that order? That is a true hierarchy. Steve Irwin, extremely reckless guy, but
heart of gold.
Never problematic.
I love him.
Always entertaining. So.
Always entertaining. And informational, kind of.
I learned so much about saltwater crocs on that show.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Great people. Great.
Oh my god.
What's next on the song?
Should we do another song?
Yeah, sure.
This next one's gonna be You and I by The Revivalists.
Oh, good one.
I think this one was also recommended to me by my roommate.
I think it was Haley.
Alright, this one's for Haley. Here we are. And we're gonna play it right now.
Well,
Welcome back to Cream of Wheat, but today's episode is called Creme Brulee because Aiden is not here and I get to name it whatever I want.
Fun.
So, as part of our obligation as WMFO 91.5 in Medford, we are going to read to you a PSA from the community. These are public service announcements, and my friend Chris is going to read it to you.
Doorknobs, restrooms, telephones,
keyboards,
other people. What do these things have in common? They're all easy ways for you to pick up or pass along germs. Germs that can lead to colds and flu. Now, you can't spend your days avoiding contact with everything, but you can take a few important steps to protect yourself. Washing your hands is one of... That was a legendary voice crack.
That was good, and we have it in high fidelity. Make that your ringtone, make that your car horn, I don't care. Make it your wake-up alarm, because that noise was jarring.
Fair. anyone else want to keep reading? My voice is too sore.
Where'd we leave off?
Start it over.
We're all taking turns reading about the flu.
You're going to hear about the flu.
A lot.
Doorknobs.
Washing your hands. I said that was the theme tonight. I said tonight's theme was going to be washing your hands, and now it is.
That's convenient. Yeah.
It's not the theme, but shall
La
we?
La gripe. Doorknobs.
Oh, my God.
Restrooms. Telephones.
No.
Keyboards.
Are you adding new ones to the list?
Other people. What do these things have in common? They are all easy ways for you to pick up or pass along germs. Germs that could lead to colds and flu. Now, you can't spend your days avoiding contact with everything.
But you can try.
But you can take a few important steps to protect yourself. Washing your hands is one of the best and easiest ways to avoid catching or spreading colds and flu. Keeping your hands and the surfaces you touch clean protects not only you, it also protects those around you. A few extra minutes a day is all it takes to put your health at first. For more on avoiding the flu, talk to your doctor or visit massmed.org or click Your Health First. This public health message brought to you by Massachusetts Medical Society.
Okay, I just want to expand on that. That was really well read. Thank you, both of you. I want to expand on that a little bit. I think, so let's just say, I'm going to like play devil's advocate, right? What if I don't know how to wash my hands? Can you guys take turns in-depth explaining to me how you might wash your hands? Well, what's the first step, right?
I sometimes subconsciously just kind of like put the soap on really well and then just like kind of let my hands stand under the sink. I don't really rinse it out.
Standing water is how mosquitoes breed.
Zika is not really a problem up here, but back home in 305, got a rep.
I'll turn off your mic. I'll turn off your mic if you mention Florida one more time.
Zika is a problem in certain panhandleic regions.
Zika
of the continental North America.
What biome are you in, Chris?
We're in a tropical temperate, I would say.
Tropical and temperate are separate.
That's how you know
I'm not the weatherman.
We should get our geology major friend up here and see what she thinks.
Emma, if you're out there,
call
phone in. Touch
geology,
us through the void.
Weather, same
through
thing.
The void. Chris, the void. Is anyone out there? Reach out. Make contact.
Yeah. Like when you're washing your hands, you really gotta
make contact with your. That's how I describe it. You definitely want to make contact.
Lather it up with that soap.
Your two hands have to make contact with the soap.
Waffle your two hands together. You know, like when you're in a really uncomfortable relationship and they're just like, let's waffle instead of be normal.
Okay, I would say after this in-depth explanation, I know less than I did before
about washing hands.
I'll retweet that. I know almost nothing.
Yeah.
Don't come near my hands. Okay, another thing I want to talk about is some people I've been conversing with in the public forum have brought up to me that they think that they can categorize all foods into three categories. Can someone walk me through this process?
You want to take it away, Allison?
So we've been talking that any food can be classified as a loaf, a soup, or a salad. Just any food. Throw them out there.
All right, I'm confused.
Really, anything in the world can be classified as any of these. However, okay, well,
let's get some examples. Okay. Smoothie.
Soup.
Yeah.
What if it's chunky?
Salad.
What?
It could be like a
salad-y soup.
You know, there's like chicken and black bean soup that has like chunks in it.
Yeah.
And so that would qualify as a soup, but it's verging into salad territory.
What's a bisque?
A bisque is a soup.
That's a soup.
But if I'm... Okay, what's gazpacho?
That's definitely a salad. Wow. Salad soup.
Why is it salad?
This whole system is falling apart.
I wouldn't say... No. It's a soup. Okay. A soup is a soup. Okay. I don't think it's controversial. Rafi, what do you think? We introduced Rafi to this right before we got back on the air.
Yeah.
So he has had some time now to think about it. What are your thoughts?
Plenty of time.
I'm trying to think. So, the salad and soup differentiation is a hard one for me.
I don't know why that's a hard one, because in practical life, those are very separate objects.
They are.
And you ask at a restaurant for a soup
or a salad.
Yeah.
I agree. But oddly, we think gazpacho is a...
I'm unclear about what gazpacho is just in general.
So it's like a chilled soup.
In reality, salads are really just conglomerations of loaves. Yes. And there's a widely believed conspiracy theory out there, though I wouldn't call it conspiracy
because
we need to give it more credence, that everything really, down to the microscopic level, could be identified as a loaf.
Everything's a loaf.
Humans are loaves.
Meat
microphones.
Your son.
Nalgenes.
Your son is a
banana
loaf.
Banana bread.
The planet.
The most absolute loaf.
Yeah. So, honestly.
Pizza bagels.
It's open interpretation. That's string a ravioli. Cheese. Ravioli is a special fourth category.
Raviolis. There are tons of different raviolis. Baby manta rays. Ravioli.
They look like raviolis. Pop-Tarts are just like dessert.
Okay, wait. So raviolis. Other types of pasta. Now that we're talking about ravioli, other types of pasta. Spaghetti. Is that a loaf?
Yes. Is it cooked or not cooked?
It's just a very elongated loaf.
By itself, not uncooked.
It's loaf. Definitely not a loaf.
No.
What would it be?
No, it is a loaf. I'm sorry. Once it's cooked...
That's a salad.
Why is that a salad?
Because it's a bunch of different loaves put together into one bowl.
Whoa. Could we dote down to like the loaf definition?
Yeah, could we get down? Yeah, could we please?
Yeah.
Could we get some clarification?
One unit of thing.
Salad or... No, I'm sorry. A soup is just a loaf then.
No.
It's in a container.
A soup is just a bunch of microscopic molecules
that are loaves.
That are just combined together that are just loafs. Just at like the level of like electrons and neutrons.
And our next song is going to be in the aeroplane over the sea.
By Neutral Milk Hotel.
What?
Please enjoy the following ditty called In the Aeroplane Over the Sea.
What a beautiful face I have found in this place that is circling all around the sun. What a beautiful dream that could flash on the screen in a blink of an eye and be gone from me. Soft and sweet, let me hold it close and keep it here with me. And one day we will die, and our ashes will fly from the aeroplane over the sea. But for now we are young, let us lay in the sun and count every beautiful thing we can see. Love to be in the arms of all I'm keeping here. Bye.
And welcome back to Creme Brulee, which is a subtitle under the larger title, Cream of Wheat, hosted by Ben Michelle, Chris Duyos, Rafi, tell me your last name if you
Jimenez.
Want.
Jimenez.
All right, and Allison King. We are filling in for Aiden because he needs three people to fill him in. Because he is that sounded stupid. Because he is very good at radio. Was really all I. We're gonna move on. Anyway, Ravi, you had something that you wanted to talk about. I thought.
Yeah. So that last song was by Plastic Milk Hotel.
Neutral.
Neutral Milk Hotel. Hotel. Wait, does it not
equally weird titles?
Does this not apply anymore?
No. It does. Okay. So a friend of mine from Emory University. Shout out to James Sissel. Musician from Jacksonville, Florida. Awesome guy. He, why are you saying ill to Jacksonville?
More of a South Florida kind of guy.
Ah, interesting. Yeah. Well, we're both South Florida kind of guys.
Please
but
don't kick me
anyways,
off the show.
James, a great guy. He actually got to meet Robert Schneider, who produced that last song and that album by Neutral Milk Hotel.
Ah, shoot.
And turns out, he taught him math over the summer. Calculus teacher, math major. Very interesting.
A shining star.
Multifaceted.
Yeah. And
a complex, jack of all trades.
A complex man.
Truly a renaissance man.
Yeah, for sure. And he just, on his Instagram, he posted when he met him, he said he has done some experimental music, experiments, I would say, because he connected a Mattel Mindflex toy to a Moog synthesizer to create music with your mind. By creating musical scales with logarithms. So this is really a true renaissance man. Shout out to Robert Schneider and James Sissel.
We can maybe try to get some of that
what'd you
on.
Say, Chris?
What is a Moog synthesizer?
So a Moog synthesizer is a invention that is really broadened, I would say, the modern music spectrum. So Moog synthesizers are really powerful instruments that are used in all types of music. Things that you know, from hip hop to rock to pop.
Oh yeah, wait, sorry. I did not mean to give you. So here's what just happened for everyone listening. I was trying to find another aux cord so we could plug the phone in and let you all hear some of that. And I thought Rafi knew and was stalling. But instead, he was actually really passionately telling us about it. So I'm going to let him get back to it, please.
Don't worry.
No, keep telling
You're
us.
You're all good, men. So Moog synthesizers, the only experience I know about them or experience I have with them is just I've heard that it's been very important to the production of many albums, such as like what I mentioned before, Boston by Boston. That was like they use a lot of synthesizers to play solos and things of that nature. The 70s and 80s music especially, 80s pop would not be anything without the Moog synthesizer. And so this is a really cool musical breakthrough, I would say. Not a lot of people know about it, but something able to combine, you know.
And thanks
math.
For tuning into Genius this week.
Something pretty interesting about that,
music,
though,
really
which is
cool.
A lot less interesting
really, really
now
cool.
That I'm thinking about saying it.
Okay.
Is that I went to overnight camp with maybe the son of the person who invited it.
Oh, wow.
I don't need to say the name because I wasn't like super close to this person, but it's pretty cool. My dad told me about that.
Well, the guy, Bill Paxton, who played a supporting character in the movie Aliens, yeah. I was friends with his daughter.
I met Cameron Crowe. You know him? You know, director, writer of Almost Famous, Fast Times at Ridgemont High. Unfortunately, we bought a zoo.
No, that one is the best
Excuse
of all
me.
Of the previously
okay,
new movies.
Almost Famous, you can't even joke. It's a phenomenal
say,
film.
Say anything.
But We Bought a Zoo is a great movie.
Should we read about it?
I don't know.
Did you see it?
Scarlett Johansson and Matt Damon in one movie? That's a powerhouse.
That's a powerhouse.
And then there's like giraffes too. Like,
okay,
what else
the giraffes make it. Ben, what are your thoughts on giraffes? You've had some personal
set
encounters.
In Southern California. All right, that's a hit against the quality of the movie.
Why? I love Southern California.
A father moves his young family to the countryside to renovate and reopen a struggling zoo.
Young with a no O.
Young
it is
Y-U-N-G.
Spelled with an
yeah,
O,
exactly.
But I think
no
that
O.
Might be a typo. Let's take a look. Let's see.
It's just like an audacious title, like We Bought a Zoo, like
We Bought a
the sequel's
I
gonna be
like
We Bought an Aquarium, you know?
Oh,
it's like
shoot.
Really big things going on in these people's lives.
Yeah, but
I feel
anyways.
Like an aquarium, like, you could still make out of, like, a kind of small aquarium, you know? But a zoo is a big commitment.
Dude, but aquariums with all the water you gotta put in? Oh, Allison,
you could have, like, a ton of different...
Oh, we got some good quotes. We got some good quotes. My dad is a writer who specialized in adventure. I want someone to describe me like that.
Who said that?
Dylan Me.
Who is that?
A character.
From?
The movie.
Which? Oh, we bought a zoo?
Yeah.
Oh, I thought we were past that, but okay.
Take this message to that American cowboy. We already gave a $10 billion oil credit to China. Swallow that, Mr. Danger.
This is a real movie.
This is a quote.
Almost I'm reading as quotes. Real of a movie as if you guys have ever watched Kings of Summer. Yes. Highlights from it include, I met a dog today. He taught me how to die.
Oh my God. No. Ooh. These are... No. I actually highly recommend that
movie.
That is
dark.
It has Moises Arias from Wizards of Waverly Place as that weird kid from your high school who, like, would camouflage himself and was really into, like, being a Marine or something.
Really great movie.
I actually really... Yeah. And the guy's next movie was the King Kong movie with, like, Brie Larson and Samuel L. Jackson. I don't know what was going on there. That was a mess.
Was that the Kong Skull Island?
Kong Skull Island. Yeah. Really excited for the next Godzilla movie, I will add.
Big Godzilla fan over here.
Big Godzilla guy. Huge.
Huge Godzilla, Godzilla guy. Yeah. All right, should we give him another ditty?
Sweet ditty.
Sure.
Here's a pretty big ditty. I would say not a little ditty.
A pretty ditty?
No,
big
I don't.
Big ditty energy right here.
All right.
All right.
With that, we're going to play Hard to Explain by The Strokes.
We'll be right back.
welcome back to Cream of Wheat, Creme Brulee Edition. That what you just heard, I totally typed that wrong. Hard to explain. That is going to be updated. That was by The Strokes. We have a couple more songs for you tonight, and we have a lot more to talk about. Oh, yeah. Please call in if you have anything that you want us to either discuss, say, or play.
Oh, that rhymed.
Yeah, that rhymed.
Nice.
Pretty good.
Put a lot of work into that one. I could see the mind processing.
The gears were literally churning. There was steam out of my ears because it is very early on a Monday morning.
Is it early or is it late?
Monday.
Don't, are you that kid? Are you that kid at sleepovers who's like, it's actually 12:01, so it's technically tomorrow?
He is.
I can ouch, Chris can confirm. Ouch. A childhood friend can confirm.
Yeah.
Ouch.
It'd be like that sometimes.
Stop that. All right. Anyone have any? What was the best thing that we all did this weekend? Let's talk about that.
I like that festival in Davis Square.
Honk.
Honk.
Shout out to Honk.
Very cool.
I learned about that at Craft Center this weekend.
It was an experience. It's just a bunch of bohemian retirees, is the way I'd put it, just playing trombones and saxophones in like 10 different spots across Davis Square.
I had a weird interaction at it.
It's like a normal Saturday in Davis Square.
It is a normal Saturday in Davis Square. Davis Square is an adventure. It's always doing it's always up to something, I would say.
She always is.
Something weird, actually, that I want to discuss and fully unpack with you all here live on radio is... I was at Honk waiting for the Joseph to take me back to Tufts. And you know, like when old ladies kind of get too into the dancing?
Oh, yeah. Yes.
And they like there were two of them and they were very coordinated. And we were like, maybe they're performing, maybe they're part of this. And then one of them tipped the band. So she was supporting the band as she was not a part of it. It was very odd. And then even weirder was a new man showed up playing a cowbell.
Mm-hmm. More cowbell.
That was more cowbell, and he was just not part of the band at all, and he stood on the outside of the circle where the audience was competitively playing the cowbell.
Just another day in Somerville, 02144.
Is that our explanation? We don't have anything...
The other day, I was at Pokeworks, a great sushi chipotle fusion kind of place.
It's a poke bowl place.
Yeah. Poke bowl. Anyways, a guy just walked in and started screaming, and they had to call the cops because he just walked in and just started
blabbering. I think that was me.
Maybe.
Did it look like me?
Were you wearing a wig?
Yes.
Okay, that makes sense.
I have a vast wig collection.
I know you do.
They keep them warm at night in the winter.
Ew.
They're like little baby squirrels that I sleep in the same bed with, like a blanket.
We actually had a friend who adopted a baby squirrel.
Yeah. Shout out to Eddie Montal.
Tell me a lot about that. Well, oh, it died? Wait.
It died. It was pretty sad.
So you can't do that. You can do that.
He has kittens. No, little slinkies. Yeah.
little cats?
What happened with the squirrel, though, was very unfortunate, because he got the squirrel, right? But he was already hurt.
Oh.
So he was just trying to take care of it, maintain it.
What was wrong with it?
He told me.
Oh.
Really?
No. He told me he just had like a hurt limb.
Oh.
But given that he was hurt, he was able to take care of him, make his last couple of days really happy.
That's sweet. That's
gave
really
good
sweet.
Good food, cuddled with him. Oh. Yeah, Eddie is a teddy bear. He's amazing. Great guy.
I had maybe, perhaps, I don't even know, maybe a similar experience. I, a couple years ago, was like, we were having like our AC fixed, and the guy that was fixing the AC like walked back there and sees a little baby bunny. And he, for whatever reason, knew just a lot about babies and bunnies and like that intersection, so baby bunnies. and he was like, do you guys have like a cat carrier? And then we like got a cat carrier, put it in. My sister was like, we need to keep this bunny, it is so freaking cute, and she names it Jaden so my mom wouldn't get rid of it. And then Jaden, I don't know. It's like it's fine. It was a fine name.
Cute.
You don't know a lot about bunnies, Chris. Okay, it's a good name. And
I really don't.
Then my mom let it go, and my sister wasn't paying enough attention, and then we lost Jaden.
No.
What color was the bunny?
It was like it was like.
You ever find Jada Pinkett?
What'd you say? What'd you say to me?
That
was a niche joke.
I didn't get it. Wait, baby bunny, IL.
Did you guys ever put up lost flyers?
IL.
No, it wasn't. It was like a wild bunny. I'm gonna look up wild bunny. I don't know. I don't
organic bunny, if you will.
A free roam. It looks like free this. Oh, I found a picture. Look up.
Huge eyes.
Oh, so cute. I don't know what color that is. That is wild baby bunny IL. That is your Google image search term. That is the one you should.
So we're looking up native IL bunnies.
Yeah. I don't really know if they're special or not, but that's it.
It was a very cute bunny.
It was so cute. Oh, my God. And it was probably very soft. I didn't get to pet it. I was gone.
Oh, every time I see a bunny here on campus, I scream bunny.
What, every time?
Every single time.
Like a,
and if there's two, I'm like, oh, my God, there's two.
Yeah. So it's like an alert for
twice?
The local
yeah.
community.
Bunny. Oh, my
bunny,
God, another
bunny,
one.
Bunny,
bunny.
Bunny, bunny.
You gotta.
Yeah.
You have
fun
to.
Fact, the first time my girlfriend got to campus, we're from a place where there's not many bunnies. And so when she saw it,
wait, what's that place called, Chris?
She
don't
assumed,
you dare. Don't you dare.
What is
where are
that?
You from?
I'm cutting off your mic.
Is
as
that a south?
I'm not saying any. I'm a
305. Hey. South Florida.
I might. I muted.
I'm saying it. Mute him.
I will. Chris, tell your story.
Anyways, she was walking around campus her first day here. She sees a bunny, assumes it's someone's pet because why would there be a bunny on like
the outside, the outdoors,
in the outdoors, a free range bunny, if you will,
organic, so soft serve bunny.
Soft serve. And anyways, she chased it around for a good 15 minutes, and someone had to clarify that bunnies exist outside of cages. So,
an easy. We've all been there.
No, we
except
haven't.
For me and most people.
Except for like probably like 6 billion people on the planet. Maybe even 7.
I think closer. Yeah, probably closer to 7.
Yeah.
Speaking of, why do people clap when the plane lands?
Yes.
Very relevant.
We're talking about. We're,
that
okay.
transition.
So seamless. I flew in on...
we're all about the seamless segue.
I flew in on Friday night from Atlanta.
Yes.
And we had a pretty rocky landing, I would say. And people still clapped.
Because they feared for their lives.
Ben, are you a plane clapper?
I would never. I would never. Okay, first of all, the only situation where you should clap when the plane lands is if you're flying some garbage airline and the fact that the plane could hit the tarmac and not immediately erupt is a miracle in and of itself, and then you could clap. And even if you're going to clap, that's stupid because the pilot can't hear you because he's behind that barricaded door.
Yeah.
He or she.
Yeah.
What's
or
nice,
them.
Though, is
they.
When the
they.
Pilot when the pilot walks out easier. After the flight and kind of like...
Would you clap
the,
then? Would you
no,
clap
I
to
wouldn't
the,
clap.
Because
I would just
that's
say
weird.
You. I would say thank you.
We know some plane clappers.
We know a plane... He has
Colin,
been
defend
reformed.
Yourself.
Ooh.
He's probably asleep in my room right now.
Typical.
Ooh.
Yeah.
And Chris, what does your room have?
My room?
Does it have...
Oh, don't get me started. So last year, basically, my room... my room was basically, you know, it was the standard freshman dorm. But this year, I wanted to go all out. So me and my roommate, shout out to Ryan McCarriger, we really
is he
just
the
went,
plane clapper?
No, he's not.
Oh my God, he
I would never
ruined.
Room with a plane clapper.
Yeah, I was going to say, are you rooming
don't
with a plane
associate
clapper?
With plane clappers.
Oh,
okay,
good. Oh my God. So we went all
flapper,
out. I was at Newbery
will.
Comics. I got myself two enormous posters. I got some Pink Floyd and some Jaws representing different areas of culture that are great, you know, music and yeah. movies. I found in New Hampshire a moose crossing sign. You already know I was buying that
he's
before
a Renaissance
I think
man.
About it.
He is a Renaissance
man.
You've yeah. been new.
We got some photo collages. We got some other movie posters. Oh, I have a little ecology enclave on top of my fridge. We have a
describe that
philodendron. My roommate, he has a vase full of flowers. We got some bamboo.
The bamboo.
Oh,
I like the bamboo.
No,
the
it really
very cool.
The bamboo is very nice.
No, we put in some O2 into the room. You know,
it's, yeah, really bringing out the fresh air. What I was mostly talking about, actually, Chris, though, is a window, and that is the name of our next song by Magic Giant. Here we are.
Come in through the wind. Oh, I'm not leaving you alone. You could write this love in stone. I'm not leaving you alone. No, I'm not leaving you alone.
And welcome back to Cream of Wheat on 91.5 WMFO. We are back. It is 1:55 in the morning on Indigenous Peoples Day. Oh, yeah. And I can tell you that that is a better name than Columbus Day.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Fun fact, Columbus Day was actually created by FDR to gain the Italian-American vote in the 1940 election.
That is a fun... Well, it's a fact.
It's a... I think it's entertaining. I think it's a fun one. I would consider it a fact of the fun variety.
Chris, I think if you pulled that out at a dinner party, everyone would agree it's fun.
They would agree, but you'd also have to know your audience.
Yeah,
because
you gotta know your audience. I agree. Yeah.
If your audience is lame people, they'd think it's good. They'd think it's a good fact.
Wow.
Perhaps even fun.
Well, I'm ready to fight about our next topic. Bring it on.
All right. Here is our next topic. We have on the docket for you in our... In our bottomless bag of ideas and entertainment, fun bits and boops. I'm muting you.
No, I'm sorry.
I have a lot of power and I'm ready to abuse it. What we have to talk about today is something that is, it's hip, it's kind of cool, it's fresh.
It comes in and out of style.
It comes in and out of style.
Because they only release one season, obviously a year.
Here are your clues. Call in. What is it? Touch us through the void. Reach out.
Halloween spookiness.
Halloween spookiness. And it is... Drum roll sound effect. And it is Stranger Things.
Yes.
I think my official opinion, which is the official opinion of WMFO and Cream of Wheat itself, is that Stranger Things Season 1 is fantastic.
Yeah.
And Stranger Things Season 2 is absolute garbage. But it's pretty good and I'd watch it again.
Well... I guess everyone here seems to be of the same opinion. Pretty much every universe, every person in the universe. It's late.
every universe.
But I will say,
all of them, all three of the universes.
I think everyone just loves it, but to me, it feels like it has a big problem that a lot of other Netflix shows have, where they just kind of like hold back, and it's called plot blocking. I don't know. I feel like it's a big problem with that show, and beyond that. It kind of just feels like an amalgamation of like other better things from the 80s.
But it was like the first one to do that in a really long time, I feel like. It made it like cool again.
Yeah, it was the first one to like parody the 80s in a while. Yeah.
So, I mean, you can't fault it for being the original. Like now I feel like you're like, oh, it's like saturated. Like that concept is saturated.
It is.
But it's not Stranger Things' fault that it was good and started that
trend. And to a degree, everything's imitation. Everything builds off its like...
predecessors. Yeah, I'm with you.
I just feel like Stranger Things does it to the point where I don't even feel like I'm seeing anything new.
Okay, when did you stop liking it?
I didn't really like it from the beginning. I just started watching it after I got my wisdom teeth out, and everyone was just like saying like, "Oh my god, you have to watch this show." I think it was just also really overhyped for me. People were like,
"What role?" I'm sorry, I just hit the mic. What role did like your wisdom teeth play in that not liking it? Do you think?
Honestly, I feel like the wisdom teeth would have, like, being on anesthesia would have made me like it more.
That's a death blow for that.
I have a concept.
Yeah, can we get some more people weighing in?
I have a great concept. Instead of having another installment, another season, I think we should bring back Freaks and Geeks.
That is a separate idea entirely.
No, it's not. You replace one 80s thing with another, and you're set.
Well, it was a 90s thing, but I definitely support that.
I haven't watched
the first season, but I've heard it definitely deserved it, you know.
We haven't had a lot of 90s nostalgia yet.
That okay, cast, for those the nostalgia.
For those of you who are me, can someone explain what the show's about?
Of course.
It's like teenage angst in high school. There's a sibling pair.
Mm-hmm. It started the entire careers of like a ton of Seth Rogen, James Franco.
No way.
Yes, James Franco. The cast is amazing.
Jason Segel.
Oh, wow.
Linda Cardellini.
Huge names on this.
Yeah, and Judd Apatow was his first big thing. Yeah.
It's relatable, even though we grew up not in that time.
Like, way later. I was conceived long after that show aired.
Yeah, because
Around the same time.
Around the same time. But
I don't know. I don't know a lot about it. We don't know. I'm old.
Wow.
I'm 2 decades young.
Ooh.
If you're saying then you're old.
That's how you know.
That's a great conundrum.
I have an age policy that I have been operating under, and I think that I want to discuss it.
Divide by 2 at 7?
No, that... It,
yes.
So, I think that, like, okay. You know when, like, little kids are like, I'm 5 and a half, and you're like, actually, that means you're 5, because if you add a half, that's an immature thing, so that way you have to subtract that. What do we think?
You just don't like doing math.
That's back.
That's a fact.
You just don't like doing math.
We know that.
And kids want to get advanced with their math. They want to learn
decimals,
fractions. Kids are all about fractions until they get quizzed on them.
I'm 5 and 3/4, and you're like, that's really cool.